Turn to Nehemiah chapter 8, please. Nehemiah chapter 8. My subject today is a good one. I think it's a subject we all need to heed. You know what it is? Be happy. That's it. I'm preaching this morning on be happy. And how many about people by show of hands say, I need that, okay? I had a few. Others don't want to be happy, so you didn't raise it. I get it. Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of the men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and the women, and those that could understand and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, and Ananiah, Urijah, Hilkiah, Maaseiah on his right hand, on his left hand, Pedaiah, and Mishael, and Malchiah, and Hashem, and Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Mishalem. Are you all proud of me pronouncing them names? Thank you. And Ezra opened the book into the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it all up, or when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered. Now take a cue from this. They answered, Amen. Did y'all note that? Some of you need to underscore that even. Amen. Then it says, Amen with lifting up of their hands. Did y'all take note of that? You can raise your hand sometime. And bowed their heads and worshiped. Worship's in order too. They worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Then I want you to notice in verse number 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat. You tell your doctor next time you go see him, the Bible says you can eat the fat. It says, and drink the sweet. I'd take that to mean, of course, they drank wine in those days. And fermented, of course. Because wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. So therefore, well, I'm trying to get you your money's worth today, okay? I'm teaching as I go, just dropping little nuggets. All right, verse number 10. Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry. Now, I take it this way. I believe if he says, don't be sorrowful, I'm thinking he's saying be happy or be joyful. So I'm taking it. The opposite of being sorry is being joyful or being happy. Now, we can stand here today and we can say happiness depends on happenings and joy comes from the Lord. And we can use all that all we want to. But if you really have truly the joy of the Lord, you'll have happiness in the right way anyway. And it says in verse 10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Think about that. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Joyful people are stronger people. Joyful people tend to be stronger people, according to that. Maybe not physically, but emotionally, spiritually, mentally, in a lot of other ways. Joyful people tend to be stronger in those respects. But let's pray. Father, thank you today for the word that we've read. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll do as those in the days of Nehemiah, that we'll make sense out of what is being read, that we'll understand, And then, Father, that we will respond positively to what we read. Dear Lord, bless today. Bless the service. Help us today to be joyful, to be happy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. On the count of three, let's all do that at one time. That way I can deflect attention off myself. Be happy. Be happy. That's my point today. Be happy. Y'all ever have that little instrument that people used to have years ago where you push a button and it sing the song, Be Happy? I had one that had a fish on it. You know, the fish was doing the singing. Be happy. Kind of interesting when fish start singing, but anyway, it said be happy. Now, let's think about that for just a moment. Happiness. Being happy. What could be said about this thing of happiness? How important is happiness? How many people do you know are happy people? In the days in which we're living, when it comes to so many negative things all around us, how many people are really, truly happy? One man by the name of Dennis Worley wrote a report one time, or he studied the subject of happiness, and he basically concluded, and he went and he researched and he found some expert opinion on the subject, and the conclusion was only 20% of Americans are happy. Only 20%. That's on that particular phase of research. One research that continued to look at the subject of happiness, here's the conclusion. It concluded that people whose activities are devoted to bringing themselves happiness are less more likely to be happy than those whose efforts are devoted in making others happy. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? So when we focus more on making others happy, then we tend to be happier ourselves. But when we focus just on making ourselves happy, based upon that research, that makes for some unhappy people. Somebody one time, they said, I asked my wife what she wanted for Christmas. She said nothing. And, here's how she stated to her husband. She said, nothing would make me happier than a diamond necklace. So the husband said, so I bought her nothing. You know verse 10. Verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Is your strength. A lot of times people think, and they've made some interesting statements about money and happiness. How important in making people happy. They said that money can't buy happiness, but it sure makes you awfully comfortable while you're miserable. And then they said to be happy, you need a good bank account, you need a good cook, and you need good digestion. Those will work. Now, we come back to Scripture. In this portion of God's Word, we see every needed element to produce happiness. Every one of them. In this chapter, here's what we've noticed. We see that there was a speaker who gave the Word of God. And that was Ezra. We see that he spoke on a pulpit of wood, elevated, speaking to the people. He delivered the Word of God. Then we see there was a congregation. The word congregation is actually used. The people had assembled together, and they listened to Ezra the scribe as he read to them the Word of God. Then, in this setting, There were attentive listeners. They were paying attention to what was being said. When you read this chapter, that's what you see. They were paying attention to that which was being spoken. Then, in this chapter, you'll see here that there were some Levites. And those Levites, they were provided in this congregational setting to teach, to explain, to break down what was being spoken. So, there were teachers. God's word was delivered by Ezra. You had teachers there who were the Levites, and they broke it down. They taught. They took what was spoken, and they taught it. And then what do you have? We see here that Ezra blessed the Lord, and the people, they said amen. So in this particular gathering, you had everything that can produce happiness. You had a good church service, you had a congregation, you had preaching, you had people listening, you had people responding, you even had some people amening, you had some raising their hands, and you had some teachers there that were teaching the Word of God. So I mean to tell you, that service had everything that could produce some happy people. And that's what you see. Now you also see something else. The people wept when they heard the Word of God. They wept. Why did they weep? Well, because the Scriptures bring conviction. The Bible brings conviction. And when people get under conviction, many times they're moved to tears and they are brought to remorse and they weep over their sins. Thank God there are a few still around that still weep over sin. Praise God when people get upset over sin. That's what we see here. They wept. And then the people were told to go their way and don't be sorry, for the joy of the Lord was their strength. There comes a time to take off the sackcloth and ashes. There comes a time to get up off of your knees from mourning. And there comes a time then to be joyful and to be happy and to get on with your life, so to speak. We have all those elements here that brings about a what I would call a true spiritual contented or contented church service. So, don't be sorrowful, the Bible says, but rather, I'm going to borrow that word happy, but be happy. Now, happiness may depend on happenings. We all will agree with that, won't we? You know, happiness does depend a little bit on happenings, but if we have real joy, we're going to have the purest form of happiness. If things produce happiness, then I would say today that the joy of the Lord produces the most profound, deepest part of happiness. Now, I could use this thought. I thought about this when I looked at this passage of Scripture. I thought about just preaching on the topic, just say amen and be happy. Because they said amen there, didn't they? Just say amen and be happy. But I'm not going to devote all my time to that. But I see that at least mentioned. Just say amen. In other words, accept what the Bible says. Apply it to the heart. Do what we're supposed to do with the Scriptures. Yes, weep over your sins. But then, be happy. Get on your way serving God. Get victory over sins. Become dedicated, sold out to Christ. And I'll tell you, the happiest people on the face of God's green earth are Christians that are enjoying their Lord, that are fellowshipping with their God. Those are happy people. The amen here followed a reflection upon the word. They thought about what was said And then they said, Amen. Now, there is a little bit of confusion sometimes. You know, a sense of humor is good. It's good to have a sense of humor. Some people just seem to maybe laugh a little bit more than others. Maybe some people just, I don't know, some people just have more of a sense of humor than others. Now, is that a fair statement? I don't think everybody, we could put them all in the same category and say everybody has equally the same sense of humor. Now, that's just a fact. A sense of humor, I think, is good because sometimes a sense of humor does oil the machinery of life. But if the machinery has a bad bearing, then all the grease in the world won't help it. Now, I want to go somewhere with that statement. A little humor may loosen up the machinery of life, but if the machinery of life has a bad bearing, then you can put all the oil you want to on it, but it's not going to help. I believe that some people have a bad spiritual bearing in their machinery. You see, here's the difference. I want to point something out here. Here's the difference between this preacher, that preacher, this preacher, that preacher. Some preachers get up all the time and all they do is talk positive. Everything's hunky-dory. We're all happy in the Lord. Everybody's saved. Everybody's enjoying the Lord. Everybody has total victory. Some preachers preach that. But you haven't heard me, have you? In this church, we have some people that are enjoying the Lord. But I've been around the block long enough to know there's probably some that aren't. I hate to come across negative, but there are still unsaved people in this world. And I also hate to come across negative, but I'm going to say this. There are Christians that are not enjoying God, that are out of fellowship with Jesus Christ. I appreciate, and I use this man a lot of times as an illustration. I appreciate Brother Calvin very, very much. Brother Calvin Vaughn texted me this morning, and he was wanting so much to come to church. But he couldn't because of his health issues. Don't you appreciate people with a heart like that? He wanted to come. Would to God we had more people that wanted to come. I mean, really. Don't you appreciate people who, in spite of their issues and problems in life, and yes, we've all got a share of them, but thank God for those that when they're able, they still get up, clean up, brush up, comb their hair, or whatever it takes, and come to church. I mean, and people that will just simply work with what tools God gave them. We're not all, none of us are competing. You have some people that might be gifted in certain areas, others gifted in other areas, and not everybody has the same proficiency when it comes to a ministry, let's say. But I'll tell you, the person that God blesses is a person that just loves the Lord and wants to serve God and will give it all they got, even though sometimes it hurts while they're giving. But some preachers, they get up and all they do is moan and groan and talk about how everybody is hurting and everybody's in pain and everybody is suffering. Yes, we all get that. But suffering, painful, hurting people can still be joyful and happy and serve God and be excited about church. And that's what I believe God wants. Be happy. Did you hear me? I'm going to say, be happy. What about the third time? Be happy. Now that paid off a little bit. I got more amen. From here on out, I'm just going to repeat every sermon three times. You know, it's possible, and I go this far. Okay, it's possible to have a smile on the face, but to be miserable within. We know that, don't we? but also vice versa. There's something better than putting a smile on our face is having God to put a smile on our soul. Better to have a smile on the soul than on the face. Real happiness is connected to joy, and joy is of the Lord, and this joy is strength-givening. Do you know, I believe there's a highway to happiness. We today came to this church from different directions. We came converging in on Sandy Ridge Road from all directions. Some came from the east, some come from the west, north or south. But we got here. All of the roads that we were on, they had to converge in on Sandy Ridge Road. And then, once we got on Sandy Ridge Road, then we had to come to this address of this building. So we came from different directions, but we still wound up at this site. Now, here's my point. The highway to happiness. Where does it begin? I believe it begins on the boulevard. It begins on the boulevard of salvation. The highway to happiness begins on the boulevard of salvation. It starts with salvation. Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor. Happiness is the Lord. You remember that song? Okay, so my simple practical points is this. We need to be happy by being on the right highway. I don't expect a whole lot of happiness and joy out of a person that's not on the right highway. I mean, you can't expect it. Let me tell you something. I don't expect an unsaved person to be happy, really. I don't expect it. They don't have the setup for it. I mean, my goodness, all they've got to dwell on, to think about, is things, health, family, etc. That's basically all they got. Give them some money, give them a nice home, give them pleasures, give them things. And if they know not Christ, this is all they've got. And the bad thing about it is they're going to have to surrender them eventually anyway, like I taught on this morning in Sunday school class. So you really can't expect an unsaved person to be very happy because they're not set up for it. But thank God when you get on the highway of happiness that begins at Salvation Boulevard, then you got a good starting point. You're geared for happiness. You've got victory in the Lord. You've got salvation in your soul. You've got a spiritual awakening. You've got the guide of the Holy Spirit. You've got something better at the end of the road. You've got something far better than earth to look forward to. You're set up for happiness. Anyone that's watching me or listening to me or both at the same time, I would encourage you, if you're not a genuine Christian, to get that thing settled this morning and know that you're on the highway of happiness that begins at the cross. People need the Lord in 2022. And people can get saved in 2022 like they did in 1922. Because God hasn't changed. So be happy by being on the right highway. I want you to note something. These people here in the book of Nehemiah chapter 8, did you notice where they were gathered? They were gathered before the water gate. There are 10 gates mentioned in the book of Nehemiah. But you know the water gate, water reminds us of the Word of God. And by the way, here's a good point. All of those gates had to be repaired except one gate. And what gate do you think that was? The water gate. Praise God, this morning this does not need to be repaired. Doesn't need to be altered. Doesn't need to be changed. And I'll tell you, the greatest and most beneficial meeting place is before the Word of God. They met before the Watergate. That's where they had their church service. Then we see that Ezra stood upon a pulpit of wood. I'm preaching before a pulpit of wood. I'm standing on the floor that beneath the floor is wood. And, you know, it's just kind of a good tradition because you elevate the place where the speaker is speaking and you elevate him a little bit, not that he's any better than anybody, but you get him up to where you elevate the position so people can easily see. And that's the purpose of elevated pulpit areas, so people can see. So Ezra gets upon a elevated place, a pulpit of wood, and he begins to deliver the Word of God. And then the Bible says that people stood up and they said, Amen. I keep hammering on that, but that is a good point. It wouldn't hurt some of you to loosen up a little bit and say amen every now and then. I mean, after all, you're saying, so be it. God's word is true. So be it. You may not even like my looks, but you still can say, so be it, when the word of God is preached. You may be mad at me, but don't get mad at the word. Forget about the face. Forget about the preacher. Forget about the person. Just remember, when God's word is given, it's good. I would encourage some of you that don't know how to say amen, find yourself a good place at home, get yourself a nice mirror, and just stand before that mirror and just kind of learn how to say it. You say amen, or you say amen. And just stand before that mirror and pay close attention to yourself. And if you don't know how to say, and the way the word is spoken, you say, Amen. You learn to pronounce the word. And then also, it would help all of you to know something. Whenever any preacher gets up, I don't preach for amens, I don't. I preach because God wants me to deliver the word of God. But an amen does help any preacher. If they're honest, they'll tell you. They like to know that the people are with you, that they're listening. And so I'm just saying, you say, well, I'll draw attention to myself if I say amen. Well, maybe you need a little attention drawn to yourself. He opened the scriptures. And then Ezra had the assistance of the Levites. And we're told, now I don't know how this will go over in a Baptist church, but we're told that they read and they expounded the truth that was being read. They taught the scriptures. Here's kind of how I see it. You have Ezra standing here at this pulpit. You see him speaking. Then on both sides of him, you have those Levites. And Ezra maybe will say something. And then he'll pause. And then he'll nod to that Levite over on the end. Or the one beside him. And he'll say, Brother Sam Levite, do you mind breaking down that scripture? Or he'll say, Brother Steve Levite, you handle it. Or Brother Hal. Or Brother Mike. Whoever the case might be. So, but you know what though? If you had that in an average Baptist church today, people would sign out and go home even before the thing started well. Because they're saying, that's old boring teaching. Who wants to come to an old boring church service where all they do is teach? Well, it would help us to get more teaching in churches. That's my opinion. And by the way, it's not so much of the preacher, whether he's boring or not boring. It's a matter of the hearts of people. They might be boring or not boring. If I'm a boring person, then there's not too many people that can cause me to be less bored or more bored. If you come to church bored, you'll normally stay bored. But you need to get on board. Some people have made up their minds even before they came to church this morning, I'm planning on being bored. Now maybe if Brother Chuck will liven it up a little bit, maybe holler a little bit, jump around, move around, do like some preachers, walk back and forth or whatever, maybe I won't be as bored. Well, let me offer a suggestion this morning. Try letting God's Word brighten your day. Forget about the volume. Forget about the delivery mechanism. And think about this book right here that's able to stir people up. At the end of the day, if the Word doesn't do it, it won't get done anyway. We need teaching. We need paying attention. And we need to let the Word of God bring response. Look at their response. We've already looked at it. Verse number 6. We've already looked at it. They answered, they said, Amen. They lifted up their hands. They bowed their heads. They worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. You let any given independent Baptist church try that today, and the next thing you know, there'll be a big writing in the local paper. The Baptist church has become Pentecostal, or the Baptist church has become charismatic. That's pretty biblical, isn't it? We read it right there. And we do know this. Sorrow was also shown. And I believe sorrow does precede, it does precede salvation. Grieving over sin. Grieving. Now sorrow, let's talk about that for just a moment. Weeping, sorrow, tears. I think they're important. But we're not saved because we weep. We're not saved because we shed tears. We're saved because our sorrow for sin takes us to the provision that was made for sin. We, at some point in time, if we don't get to the cross, we'll leave with teary eyes, but won't have anything besides teary eyes. Our sorrow needs to take us to the cross. Our sorrow needs to dangle us over our sin and make us realize the penalty of our sin is death. Our sorrow needs to have the consciousness of our sin and then launch out by faith and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That should be the way it goes. You know, the boulevard, the road to salvation must begin or must be the road of the cross. So, we've got to get to the cross. That's the key point here. The old prodigal, by the way, think about this. The old prodigal in the far country of sin, he had to get home before he began to be merry. He had to get home. People need to get home. Then you can begin to be merry. Bible says there's no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 1. So the highway to happiness begins on Salvation Boulevard, but will always take you through the town of affliction. And it will. Christians go through the town of affliction too. We must. Every Christian that I know that has joy has a joy that's nourished by affliction. In the Scripture, we know that wine speaks of joy. It speaks of joy. But now, think about that for just a moment. The wine, which speaks of joy, if you take the grapes that produce the wine, the juice has to be extracted from the grapes. And in biblical days, they had a wine press. People literally got in this wine press and walked around. God help those that drank the wine if the people that did the walking around had athlete's feet. But they walked around. And it took pressure to extract the wine, the juice, which speaks of joy. So I'm saying today that that afflictions, like the grapes being pressured, still can produce joy. We have to be afflicted. We have to suffer. The trial of our faith is much more precious than gold that perisheth. And mature growing people know that. There are people in this church, and I know this for a fact, who hardly live a day without hurting. Some know that their earthly days are waning in our church. But I hear them many, many times talking about God's peace and still reflecting God's joy and still reflect that anticipation of seeing their Lord. And I've seen many down through the years, precious souls in our church, that from morning, from the time they get up to the time they go to bed, they're hurting. But that still does not take away the joy in their heart. And in other words, their soul is smiling just like Sister Joanne Green's face is smiling. I call her Mrs. Smiley. She's known for her infectious smile. And thank God for that. That's encouraging, isn't it? And I believe if we were to ask Joanne this morning, Joanne, are you perfectly well? Where are you at, Joanne? Are you perfectly well today? Do you have any physical issues at all? You do. I see you nod your head. Yes, you do. I'd never know that by looking at your face, though. And you know, that's what God helps us to do. I mean, in spite of that blue and despair agony on me, God's Word says, be happy. The man that wrote Philippians, he wrote that book under the most difficult circumstances anybody could ever write. In fact, I've often thought about that. How in the world could Paul pen the prisoner, still have the flexibility and the use of his hand to be able to write under inspiration the prison epistles that we have? He wrote them while he was in prison. And he talks about it all the time, all the time. Joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. If anybody would have interviewed the Apostle Paul, I wonder how it would have gone. Now, Paul, I notice that you... And yes, I'm looking now at those chains that you have on your hands connected to that guard beside you. But I'm wondering, Paul, are you really happy? Or is that just a put-on? What do you think Paul would have said? Have you read my book? Can't you see it in my demeanor? I mean, they could chain him to someone else, but he was chained to the Lord, and he still had joy, he still had peace, he was still happy. And that's what I'm saying to all of us today. We can even sing like Paul and Silas did when they sang in prison. Thank God we can sing even in the face of a grave, because we know the old song where a Squire Parsons wrote, I sing because there's an empty grave. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Every member of Smith Grove Baptist Church has more reasons to be happy and to rejoice than you have reasons to be sad and solemn and miserable. Independent of what people think about. The joy of the Lord is independent of circumstances. It's independent of what people think about us. We can still be joyful anyway. I mean, people may look at us and say, you're a nut. But like the old preacher said, that might be true, but I'm screwed on the right bolt. I'm closing with this statement this morning. The road to happiness. Again, come back to that. The road to happiness. There's a point of entry. You know, when you think of people coming to America, there's a point of entry. At least there was until the liberals got in charge. Point of entry. come through certain points. You came in legally. But why did people come? They come because America has traditionally and typically represented the land of freedom. But to get there, you come through designated points of entry. And you come to the land of freedom. But this morning in closing, there's a point of entry into the land of freedom. And by the way, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. There's a point of entry. And the cross alone is the port. None have a right to heaven. And let me borrow the language of the politicians. No one, until they're saved, are able to enjoy the land of freedom because they're illegal. They're illegal. You can't have freedom, you can't enjoy the land of freedom until you're legal. And I'm talking spiritual application. You can come through the port of religion. You can come through the port of good works. You can come through the port of church. You can come through all those ports, but until you come through the port of the cross, you're not going to enjoy freedom. So this morning in closing, my friend, be happy. Realize the joy of the Lord is our strength. And don't take this as much as a sermon as a scripture. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning I pray for those that are unable to be happy because they're not saved. I pray for those that are saved that are set up to be happy but aren't. I pray, Heavenly Father, today that all of us will look beyond our miseries, our discomforts, our trials, our tribulations, and see that there is a port of freedom, a port of victory. There's a port where we all can still enjoy in spite of the tribulations that we think we have along the way. Father, if there's someone today that's never arrived at the port of salvation, the cross of Christ, Jesus taking care of our sin debt, may they get there today before it's too late. Oh, the tragedy of thinking that one day that port will be closed. No one will get in. When a person dies, it's too late. If the rapture takes place for the unsaved, it very possibly will be too late. The port will be closed. But Father, now Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Now, Father, for your people, some today that's overwhelmed with their burdens, overwhelmed with their cares, but failing to realize that you want them to have joy. Rejoice in the Lord. It could be that in a service such as this, I believe, Heavenly Father, that there's some people in this church service that needs to do something they haven't done for a long time. Be willing to come forward at an invitation. Bow before you, or maybe sit on these front seats and say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Help me to quit striving and working and trying, and help me to trust more. Forgive me, Lord, of my lethargy, my ignorance, my callousness. Lord, I want to go out of this service today charged by the joy of the Lord. So, Father, at this invitation time, those whose hearts I believe you're nudging, may they respond to that nudge and come forward and say, Lord, I want instruction out of what I've heard read and preached, and I want to apply it. Help me to apply it. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Let me focus on the Christian first of all. How many of you this morning, in all honesty, will say, Preacher, I know that I'm saved, but I've lost a little something. I don't have that joy like I used to. I don't have that sheer delight in the things of God like I used to. But I want it back. I want more than saying I've been to church. I want church to come into me this morning. I want to leave with church in my soul because, Lord, you've spoken to me and I want to obey. How many would say, I'm saved. God spoke to my heart today with this message about my need. Will you pray for me, preacher? Would you pray for me? God spoke to my heart. I'm saved, but I've lost that joy like I used to have it, and I want it back. Pray for me. Could I see your hands this morning in this church service? Father, this morning, I pray that the perfect will of God be done right now in this invitation in every life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Number 292.